Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Memories of former victories can make the pain of defeat even more bitter. Yet, when our fellowship with other saints is hindered and God is seemingly hiding His face from us, we begin to value our fellowship with each other and God even more. Oppression creates a craving for God's light and truth that is personified by His Son, Jesus Christ, and that is revealed by His Holy Spirit. Be of good courage. God is always with us. Please open your Bible to Psalm 43 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study of Psalms 43 and 44.
Psalm 43. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And so Psalm 43 echoes the same refrain as Psalm 42. Why, my soul, are you downcast? More than likely, some of you, if not many of you, over this coronavirus situation, are somewhat downcast. Normalcy has now been thrown out the window, and we have been placed into this situation that we have never faced before. And yet, the psalmist here, we see, will end up, instead of listening to himself, talking to himself, and saying, put your hope in God. In the traditional churches, Psalm 43, verse 1, is sung as the first portion of services on Passion Sunday, recalling the last trip of Jesus to Jerusalem to stand trial. And you could hear Jesus saying this as Son of Man, judge me, O God, plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and the unjust man. And in verse 2, we read the profession, the confession, a beautiful one, a powerful one. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? John Corson writes, quote, the psalmist knew that wherever he was, God was with him. Yet, although his question as to why God had cast him off didn't reflect the reality of his situation, it did reflect the honesty of his emotion. And you and I know, as New Testament believers, that the Lord has promised us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. But we ask the why questions, don't we? We do feel like there are times when he has abandoned us. But notice, even though the psalmist is asking the question why, he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt, you are the God of my strength. You are my stronghold. You are my place of safety. You are my shelter. And he's saying, why, knowing that, am I going mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And one of the most effective fiery darts of the devil is the fiery dart of oppression, that dark cloud that hangs over us at times when circumstances are not what we think they should be, or contrary to how we feel things should be going in our life. I recall of how Jesus on earth, in Acts 10:38 was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And if you are sensing that oppression tonight, I pray that Jesus would manifest his power toward you. Psalm 9 verse 9 says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble, a place of shelter, a place of safety." And here the psalmist affirmed, "You are my strength." What a wonderful thing it is for you and I to affirm tonight. Lord Jesus, you are our strength. You are our stronghold. And then he makes the declaration in verse 3, "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill, unto thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O my God." The psalmist asks God to send his light and truth to guide him to the temple where he would meet God. God's truth provides the right path to follow. God's light provides the clear vision to walk upon that path. And if tonight you are feeling surrounded by darkness and uncertainty, know this: God's light and God's truth is there to guide you and to guide me. Had the psalmist known what you and I know as New Testament believers, no doubt they would have said what Jesus said: "I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life." And wherever you are, and whatever you are going through, and whatever difficulty you may be facing, Jesus Christ is as your Lord, your light. He is your truth. He is your reality. The psalmist here wanted to be led to the holy hill, which is really Mount Zion there in Jerusalem, the city that David named as Israel's capital. The temple was built there as the place for the people to meet God in worship and in prayer and to celebrate his holy festivals. He wanted to go back there. He wanted to be with the people of God. And no doubt, you are feeling a little stir crazy yourself. And you are longing for the time when we are able to come together and worship together. Isn't it something how we take so much for granted? I wonder how many of you, I know myself, I'm guilty of this, now that we are unable to gather together, long for the time when we can get together, when we get the quote-unquote green light to assemble together, where we could come together and worship the Lord. I pray that you and I would not forget how we're feeling right now when we are able to come together. One of the ways God draws us to himself is by leading us to worship him with his people. And his word consistently encourages us to gather with other believers, to worship him, and to hear his truth. David, or many believe this is David. It's not sure who is writing the psalm. We know that the inspiration, of course, is the Holy Spirit. Desired to go to the altar of God. God is exceeding joy upon the harp. And there, even though mourning, he says, "I will go there and I will praise him." The harp could be the stringed instrument. It could be a guitar. A zither is often mentioned as what this harp may have been. And it was an instrument that was associated with joy and rejoicing. Something that soothed those that were oppressed at times. Like when Saul was afflicted by an evil spirit, and David would play the harp, and Saul was refreshed and the evil spirit departed from him. One of the best things that you and I can do in this day and age of technology is to have our homes filled with music that praises God and lifts him up, because God inhabits the praises of his people. Verse 5, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted or disturbed within me? Hope thou in God, For I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. 9 times the question why is found in Psalms 42 and in verse in chapter 43. It's going to be asked again in 44, and I want to say a little bit more about it then. But you see, the why questions aren't always questions of doubt. The why questions in these Psalms are not whys with a clenched fist. They're whys that ask, Lord, what is it that you are saying? What is it that you are doing? What is it that you are teaching me? And probably every one of us during this time of being shut in, locked down, may be asking, Lord, what is it that you want to teach me? What is it that you want to teach my family? What is it that you want to teach us as Koinonia Fellowship, a family? What is it that you are teaching the body of Christ? What is this all about? But notice that he's asking these questions because he's listening to himself. And maybe he's even listening to the whispers of the enemy, where is your God? But D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his excellent commentary on Psalm 42, says one of the best things that we can do, one of the disciplines that is most necessary as a believer, is to stop listening to ourselves and to start talking to ourselves. He says, hope in God. I'm going to praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Psalm 44 is written to the chief musician for the sons of Korah, Mashil. Mashil means instruction. It's a song not only for inspiration, but for illumination. And many of the Psalms were instructive. Many of them were meant to illuminate the people of God. Of course, the sons of Korah were the Levitical choir that made up the descendants of Korah that were appointed by David to serve in the temple liturgy. And the leader of these Korahites in the days of David was a man by the name of Heman, H-E-M-A-N. And this is one of a collection of 7 psalms that began in Psalm 42 through chapter 49, a collection of one of the 7 psalms ascribed to the sons of Korah. The Jewish Study Bible says this is a community petition. It begins with a hymn about God's past deliverance, followed by a complaint about the current situation, a protestation of innocence, and the petition itself concludes the psalm. The NIV Study Bible writes here, Israel's cry here is for help after suffering a devastating defeat at the hand of an enemy. The psalm probably relates to an experience of the kingdom of Judah, which as a nation did not break covenant with the Lord until late in her history, perhaps during the reign of Jehoshaphat or Hezekiah. Notice, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. The psalmist remembers the times of the ancestors being taught about the times when the nation flourished. In his Reformation Study Bible, R.C. Sproul made the comment, memory plays a key role in the psalms. When in distress, it brings healing to remember God's gracious acts in the past. That is so true. How we need to remember tonight all of the times God has intervened in our lives. It's so easy, and I'm as guilty of it as you are, to be consumed and overwhelmed by the moment. Reflect on what God has done for you. And in that reflection, reflect on the love that he displayed for you and for me. by sending his son to die on the cross for our sin. Learning from history is important in passing on our faith to the next generation. Psalms 105 through 107, 1 Corinthians 10 says the things that were written in the aforetime were written for our learning. And it is crucial that we learn from history, because many times history repeats itself because we don't listen and learn from the past. You know, we live in a day and age where the body of Christ has become so compartmentalized or departmentalized, and we have youth groups and we have children's ministry, and that's wonderful within the context of gathering together as we do. But I want you to know that here the psalmist says, we have heard what our fathers have told us. And so grandpa, dad, mom, grandma, the primary teaching of the Word of God should come from you, not the children's leader, not the youth group leader. Thank God for them. But they can only be supplemental. You, as it says in the book of Deuteronomy, are to be teaching your children about the things of the Lord, talking about them when you're sitting down, when you're rising up, when you're driving in the car. And so here they heard the testimony of what God had done. No doubt verse 2 speaks of driving out the pagan nations and the conquest of Canaan as described in the book of Joshua. How you did drive out the heathen with thy hand and planted them. How you did afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand, that speaks of God's power, that speaks of his authority, thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou had a favor unto them. Oh, how we need to be reminded of the fact that God has shed his favor upon us through Jesus Christ. You are my king. What a declaration, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. The names Jacob and Israel are often interchanged throughout the Old Testament, referring sometimes to the individual patriarch, sometimes to the nation. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. Again, the Jewish Study Bible says, quote, in the ancient Near East world, the king led his people in battle. Thus, God's role as warrior is part of his role as king. Through thee we push down our enemies. Psalm 60, verse 12 says, through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Through thee, through the Lord, we have victory. Through the Lord we have power. The prophet Zechariah said in chapter 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Verse 6, for I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. We can't deliver ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We can't even trust in ourselves. Jeremiah 17 says, for man to trust in man puts them under a curse. And here the psalmist rightly acknowledges that they don't even dare trust in themselves, their bow, their own sword. They recognize that God's special provision, not their own abilities, was responsible for their victory. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I are to sit back and do nothing. God's sovereignty never means that you and I are not to take responsibility. The two go hand in hand. God is sovereign. You and I are responsible. And you and I are given these promises of God that we by faith receive and walk in. Here there's a war that is being talked about. Here there are battles that were fought in the Old Testament. And God's people did go to war. They did go to battle. But they learned not to trust in the size of their army, nor in the size of their weapons. Their trust was in the Lord. There is responsibility. Proverbs 21, verse 31 says, "The horse is prepared against the day of battle." That's our responsibility. But safety is of the Lord. In whom or in what are you trusting tonight, beloved? Only God can be trusted, because God's the only one that will never let you down. "You've saved us from our enemies," verse 7. "You have put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever." Selah. Again, once again, notice, beloved, that the exploits that the psalmist speaks about here were not those of his ancestors, but those of God. And that God is our God. Their God is our God, and he is with you and me tonight, just as he was with his people there in that battle. The God of then is the God of now. And reflecting on the great works of God in the past, as I said earlier, whether it be in biblical times or in church history, should be fuel for our faith today and our prayers today. He says, Selah, stop, think about that. Think about the greatness of our God, the victory that has been won for us by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. He's our deliverer. He's our healer. He's our comfort. He's our great physician. He's our very present help in time of need. Oh, we can overload on all of the information coming in and with this coronavirus. And I think that it is wise to be educated. But we can just take in so much information that we can begin to become doubtful or just freak out. And instead of doing that, meditate on the promises of God. Meditate on the promises of God. I've said to our flock, you dear saints, I can see you looking at me over here. I can see exactly where you would be sitting tonight. And I'm looking at you. And I'm looking at you in the camera through your iPad or television. Many of you may be sitting up at night thinking about all of these things and the things that are affecting you. And there's nothing wrong with being concerned. But let me ask you this. Are there things that are keeping you up at night that haven't kept you up before? And if you say yes, then you know how to meditate. Just change the topic. Think about the Lord. Think about how good he is. But I want you to know here, up until verse 8, things are great. And then there was some change. And the psalmist now begins to express to God this despair, this concern. And things have changed for you and me, haven't they, in the past couple of weeks? Things are different. Things are not the same. Our lives have been disrupted. We've been put on lockdown. And here, the psalmist goes from declaring how great God is, we boast in you, to why this dilemma? Why are we going through what we're going through? You know, God has nowhere promised that those who choose to follow Christ would be kept from problems. In fact, the Apostle Peter said, "Don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you." But human nature is such that when we begin to go through some trial, we begin to wonder, God, why are you allowing this to happen? Why? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Like sheep without a shepherd, our kids need a trustworthy guide for their lives. Introducing Emerald Crossing, an unforgettable summer camp experience where kids will meet Shepherd King David and the ultimate shepherd, Jesus Christ. They learn how to cross from anxiety to peace, from fear to faith, and from uncertainty to a firm foundation in God's Word. Join us at Koinonia Fellowship August 3rd through the 7th. Register today at koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you.
Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us at 9:30 on Sunday morning and at 7 p.m. on Wednesday for our regular services. Our address is 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Weather permitting, Sunday morning services will be held in Edmund Lyon Park, right next to our church parking lot. Please bring your own chairs and blankets. Please check our website for any last-minute changes. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.